From the Terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
A very good evening to you. You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, sponsored by the Cambridgeshire FA. Daniel Baker here, sitting in for Tim Armitage, pulling a double shift today, joined by Ollie in the studio. Both of us had early starts this morning, didn't we, with our breakfast shows?
Yeah, got up bright and early this morning.
We did, but it's all good fun, and we're very happy to be here. And thank you to Polish Waves for the last hour as well. So coming up then, very much the same show, despite a slightly different lineup. Depleted schedule in football, of course, due to the weather. So for the men, only Cambridge United's game survived. Histon and Cambridge City didn't play. We'll be joined by Matt Lockwood to discuss the big game, the derby and grudge match, if we can call it that, between the Amber Army and Luton, which ended in a 1-1 draw. We'll talk all things City. We'll preview their game with Hanwell, which will hopefully go ahead tomorrow night. Robbie Nightingale and Steve Warne will join us on the programme this evening. Mark Lesniak, too, joins us to discuss all things Histon, as does Lance Key, their manager, and their season hangs in the balance. It's not yet known whether they'll secure an instant return to Tier 8. There's ambiguity about which sides will go up from the Eastern Counties Premier League alongside the champions. It could be first, second and third. It could be first and second. Who knows? It's one of those ones that's a bit up in the air. And no women's action either this week, sadly, as well. Cambridge United weren't due to play anyway, but the reserves were due to take on Hutton in the league plate, but that game has been called off. Cambridge United's game with Bedford off as well, and Histon's clash with Ipswich Wanderers also fell foul of the beast from the east. Histon tweeted a score from the weekend, though. You like this one, Ollie. Football nil, Mother Nature won.
Very much so, actually, very much so.
It was a same old story up and down the land, actually, it has to be said indeed. And we'd love to hear from you if you've got your views on all things Cambridge United, or Histon, or Cambridge City, or the women. 07919 070 490, or you can email studio at cambridge105.co.uk. Cambridge 105 Radio across the city and South Cambridgeshire. So in a moment, we'll start off with Cambridge United, because they did quite well yesterday. And of course, there was that incident where the groundsman was awarded man of the match. We'll talk about that in a moment. And we'll also discuss that a bit further with Matt. So that bed means one thing. Cambridge United, of course, in action. Took on Luton yesterday in one of only two games to survive the beast from the east. James Collins put the Hatters in front before getting sent off. Jalbo Eberry then came off the bench to grab an equaliser to make it 10 points from a possible 15. Ollie, a good result for the Ewes.
Yeah, very much so. I think if you look at Joe Dunn's record now, 1-3, drawn 1, lost 1. I mean, could have easily been 1-3, drawn 2. And the game against Accrington, obviously there was that incident with the referee, the push on George Taft. But just talking about yesterday's game, I think it's a brilliant result. We spoke a lot in the Sean Derry era whether Cambridge could compete with those top sides, and so far they've got 4 points from 9, as I just said, possibly could have been 5 points from 9 against Notts County, Accrington and Luton. So you know, Joe Dunn's come in, is it manager bounce, has he changed something? We probably won't be able to tell until a later date to see how the Ewes progress, but at this moment, they're doing very well, and very well against the top sides in the league.
Yeah, very much so. And of course, the most important thing yesterday, they avoided another 7-0, which I think was the key, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke last week on the show that hopefully they could use that 7 as motivation, a bit of revenge. And I think the way Cambridge started the game, that they almost did that. They were pressing Luton, pushing hard up the pitch and getting in their faces, and Cambridge started the game the better. However, Luton did turn on the star. They showed why they were top of the league. They pinned Cambridge back, and United had to absorb a lot of pressure. Having said that, David Ford didn't have many saves to make. You know, there wasn't too many chances. I mean, I did think Luton were on top, but the Ewes weren't, you know, hanging on in many sense. They weren't conceding chances left, right and centre. But that bit of quality from Luton got the goal. But Cambridge responded really well. And another thing that's been evident under Joe Dunn is the fact that Cambridge are a lot sturdier now. They're resilient, and when they go a goal down, they don't look like they're going to concede more. They stay together. They stay, their heads stay up, and like yesterday, they came back really well into the game.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's hear what Joe Dunn had to say after yesterday's game.
Well, Joe, that was stirring stuff.
Oh yeah, what a game! Really, really good game. Good local derby. Had a bit of everything. Tackles and good play from both teams, sending off and so on. A rousing finish by the home team, and we were probably unlucky not to nick it in the end. However, I think on the whole balance of play, it was probably a fair result.
It was a game that had a number of phases as well, wasn't it? You started really well on the front foot, as you have done all your games.
Do you know something? It was a great start. It was a really great start. But you know what I'm really happy about? When we had a dodgy spell after about 25 minutes, the last time we played them, we were 4-0 down. And that was key. That was the whole thing about the game, was never be out of the game. And we stayed in it as long as we could. We made changes when we could. But the key was that 25 minutes when they really started to get hold of what they're good at, and that's why they're top. And the key then was to stay in it, go in at 1-0. And I know that sounds a bit negative. However, it worked in the end. And I was really pleased mentally with the team. But a great start on the front foot, that's what we want. But when you play against the top teams, they usually don't let you do that for the whole game, that's for sure.
It was tempo, wasn't it, when Luton imposed their tempo on the game, or slowed things down and got that goal?
Yeah, the goal was, they had a good period. When the goal came, they had a good period of play, and it's like, well, OK, let's try and work it out a bit. And unfortunately, the goal obviously came. It's one of those goals. I mean, that's why they score goals. I mean, the people on the move for the rebound. However, I thought it was a great response by the team, and certainly in the second half as well.
And a good measure, really, of how the team has progressed since you played Luton last.
Well, look, I never mentioned that scoreline in the build-up to the game. That was hard, you know. I think the players are still learning from that, and that's the key thing, is mentally being able to understand when you have a little bit of fear every now and again, because obviously when the first goal went in, there was probably some thinking, oh, well, hang on, here we go again. The important thing is to stay calm. And we've been trying to say that all week. No matter what happens, guys, we're up against a good side. If we go behind, just stay in the game. And we did that. And I know they went down to 10 men, and they'll probably say it changed the game. But listen, sometimes you can go down to 10 men and not really do anything. And that's what I was really pleased with. When we went down to 10 men, we did it right. We got some width in our play. And did really well, and could have won it in the end.
I was going to say, before Luton went down to 10 men, I thought he was starting to get ahead of steam.
We were just getting into it a little bit, and we kind of delayed one or two substitutions because we felt, you know, fair play to the guys, they've matched it now and they're coming back into it, and if we could score now, there'd be a real chance of us maybe getting back into it and maybe winning it. But a real good response by the players in the second half, and when we went when obviously they went down to 10, we did it the right way.
And options on the bench, which is never a bad thing to change both the shape and the personnel.
Yeah, well, it's always something that we need to be clever with. It's something we think about, something we look at. But you know, obviously again today with the width and Giovanni, we pushed out to the left and had an effect. And it opened them up a bit. And like I said, you have to do things right when the opposition is down to 10. And I thought we did that.
And it's never a bad thing as a coach to put someone on and he scores a goal.
Really pleased for Jabbo. It's been a tough period since before Christmas. Stop start season for him, really. He's never really got going. But he's a player that, when you look at his record at Carlisle, could score goals between now and the end of the season. And crosses into the box, and he's in the box and he scored. It's a classic Abiré goal, and we're pleased he did it today.
We keep coming away from games saying, well, there's this positive, there's that positive, and it's not too difficult to find positive things from performances and games at the moment.
Well, that's key, isn't it? I mean, that's key. There'll always be negatives. Of course there will, but I don't focus on them. We just try and, as a staff, learn from that. You know, when we had the ball in the second half against 10 men, we moved it really well. And that was key. We didn't just want to lump it into the box, like, you know, walk to across an area. But yeah, positives, lots of positives to keep taking from games. And as long as we can keep doing that and the players keep responding, we'll keep pushing to the very end.
One of those positive things was the cracking atmosphere this afternoon.
Oh, it was great, wasn't it? It was really good. Really pleased with for our fans. I'm really pleased for our fans after what, you know, obviously the guys who went to the last game. We've probably paid them back a bit today. So I'm really pleased for them, but a real special mention for the ground staff today, I thought, you know, and for people for turning up as well. They could have easily have sacked it off today, and they didn't. They came and supported the team, and that support really counted in the end. You could feel it. I mean, they sucked the ball into that net at the far end, Newmarket Road end, and you know, if we can start creating some atmospheres like that where we can attack, you know, they can help as well.
Must make it such a joyful place to work in when you get things like that.
100%. Yeah, but that's, you know, when things are going well and there's positives. Do you know something? They stuck with us when there was a sticky patch today. They really did. And that was important, because sometimes we have players that could probably find it difficult when that happens. But they stuck with us. And again, we're sending everybody home in a good mood, you know. But obviously we have to move on to the next one now, and it's another, don't get any, you know, easier. Like, it's Wickham away, and we'll walk. And, you know, the one thing I will say, I want to point out, we trained indoors twice this week. We've trained indoors twice this week. We didn't train Monday. We trained Tuesday indoors. We couldn't train Wednesday. We trained Thursday indoors. And we had to go on to the gym yesterday just to spin on bikes. It's tremendous effort from the players. It's a very, very good result for us. And it's a very, very emotional result from the fact that we dug it out. And that's very important for this group, I think. I think it's very important, that desire and heart not to get beat. And I think we've showed that.
And to finish strongly, having had those problems training in the week, says a lot about the players' fitness levels.
Yeah, correct, yeah. It's a testament to our staff. Testament to the players. Trust. I trust them. I respect them. They have my respect and trust. It's theirs to lose. And that's what I do. I treat them like adults and ask them to look after themselves and be ready to play. Everybody, including the subs who didn't get on today and including the two lads who got left out. And they've given me all. And they've given Cambridge all. Honest performance, and that's all I asked for yesterday in the press conference, and we got it today.
Joe, thank you. Well done.
Joe, you mentioned the ground staff, the unusual step of making the whole team man of the match. One of only 10 games from the Championship down on today. I mean, a great effort.
I'm going to buy them a drink. As long as there's only 10. Did you say 10? There's not like 20. When I turned up here yesterday, it was about 25. So I'll get them a drink. They deserve a drink. You know, fantastic. I mean, those covers went on after the Grimsby game. You read it, you know. Brilliant spirit. And I think we echoed that spirit. We did speak about it before the game. We had 4 a.m. written on the flip chart. That's what time Ian got here this morning. That's the application needed. That's what we want from you guys today. You've got to match that. There's no way we're losing this game when we've worked so hard to get this game on. And I'm so pleased we didn't.
Yeah, it was important to kind of, after last week, it was so disappointing to lose it and not take the chances. It's good to kind of bounce back and keep that momentum.
The result was only disappointing last week. Everything else was really good and the performances were good. And we spoke about just keep getting in there, lads, keep believing in chances. And, you know, I do think we had a few shots on goal today. You know what I mean? I mean, they'll probably say the same thing. They had a few shots on goal and probably should have scored. But you break it down, I think their goalkeeper was busy today two or three times as well. So I think overall an even battle, a good battle, and a battle that we were pleased to come out in a positive manner.
Yeah, what do you say at half time? Because the momentum shifted so quickly.
Just lads, please don't panic, because they could easily have fallen off a cliff face there. Yeah. And it could have, you know, in a heartbeat, it could have been bang, 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 goal, 4-0 Luton. And that was important. And we just stayed 3 points. That's all we made at half time. Stay calm, make them believe in themselves, stay in the game, find your moment, get your chance. And I was really pleased they did that.
Yeah, let's go.
Brilliant stuff. So Matt Lockwood joins us as per usual. Good evening, Matt.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Brilliant, got you now. So brilliant stuff. So yeah, obviously you've heard the thoughts of Joe Dunn there after the result. And most important thing was you avoided another 7-0. How pleasing was it?
Yeah, well, you have to be delighted, really and truly. It was definitely a marked performance from the last time. Obviously it makes a difference having some strikers on the pitch this time round as well. But anything that we got from yesterday's game, if we didn't lose, was always going to be a bonus. And absolutely delighted. Unfortunately couldn't make the game, but listening to it on the radio up in Edinburgh, and you know, it was pleasing to hear that, you know, we stuck with it. We know what Luton can do. We know how good Luton are as well. You know, they've got two of the best strikers in the league. And then, you know, for as much as that we may not, you know, like saying this, but they've got one of the best midfielders in the league in our own Luke Berry. And, you know, all round, you know, their team is probably a League One side, at least. And, you know, when you go a goal behind, as Joe Dunn said there, it's quite easy for us to have folded like we did in the last game. Can see two or three quick goals, but we didn't. We stuck at it, and you know, as I say, with the red card probably helped get us a deserved equaliser. But one thing we haven't done in recent times underneath Joe Dunn is when we've sort of conceded a goal, is folded like a pack of cards that we had been doing. And you know, he has installed some belief and some confidence into this team to keep going right till the end. And I think that's the most pleasing thing to come out of it.
Yeah, look, obviously he's made a difference, there's no question of it. You know, his record, as Ollie was saying, is 1-3, lost 1, drawn 1, which is not bad for a caretaker manager at all. So, In terms of, you know, the results recently as well, even though you lost to Accrington last weekend, you know, he spoke so highly of the players and said that, you know, even though they'd lost to a high-profile team, they'd done really, really well. And as a fan, you know, if you're losing games but putting in the performances, it's not so bad, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, you know, Joe has done probably what was required and probably what we some of us expected, really. You know, he's basically been told he's got to get on the job, and every single time he talks to the media, he says, I just keep it simple, you know, and it's the same message, you know, to the players. Just worry about what you're doing, rather than with Sean, it might have been, oh, we'll worry about what the opposition's doing rather than our own game. And that's something that has completely changed, you know, is that now it's all about us rather than the opposition. You know, it's about what we can do. We do have some talent in this team. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, last week, you know, we probably should have got a point. And like we spoke on last week's show, you know, if it hadn't been for a poor referee decision, we'd have got a point, which was the least we deserved. So, he has improved something, but is he still the right man to go forward? I'm not so sure. I still think that potentially there might be somebody better out there. But on the flip side, Joe's also just got one job to do, and that's just to coach the players and make sure, you know, he's keeping their spirits up. And it's quite simple at the moment, but when it comes into that pre-season, when he's got to go out and he's got to build his own team, which he will have to, you know, he will have to make his own additions if he wants the job. It's going to be interesting to see how he reacts there when all the pressure basically is on him rather than, you know, on somebody else. And, you know, we haven't seen that yet at the moment. He's got no pressure because, let's be honest, as Hughes fans at the moment, we're not expecting too much apart from just get through the end of the season and finish as high as we possibly can.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, you seem like you're safe at the moment, but Tim Armitage takes a very different view. He said, you know, prior to coming on today, why not just end the uncertainty and give Dunn the job? He's obviously getting something out of the players that Derry couldn't. He goes on to say, we've had a good run of results, expecting to already paying him, so no expensive new acquisition. The players seem to like him. But you talk about, you know, somebody else being in charge. Who could fit the bill, though? That's the question. Is there anybody out there that could, you know, take on the job and actually be a feasible replacement?
Obviously, there's loads of names out of work, you know, at the moment. Again, would you have those people in? You know, they're out of a job for a reason, of course, you know, because, you know, they haven't been good enough, or, you know, they've lost their jobs at other clubs. But you know, it's hard to tell. You know, it's one of these, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You stick with Joe Dunn because he's already in, and he keeps the same players, maybe adds one or two, but doesn't get the results next year. We're all going to be going, oh, maybe we should have changed it early, you know, or changed it in pre-season and got somebody new in. As you say, on the flip side, it's a case of, you know, there are people out there that probably do want the job. Graham Daniels, who said in an interview this week, that said, you know, there's high interest in the United job. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what the football club needs, is just a complete and utter clean slate, you know, sweep out the broom cupboard, because, you know, in recent seasons we have been failing. And, you know, maybe we just need a fresh set of eyes to come in and look at some of these players, or start looking at these players soon, about what they want, and then go from there. But, you know, I don't think the club, I think the club are quite happy at the moment just to carry on the way they are. As I say, we're not in any danger of going down now, you know. And so once Joe takes us out of this difficult sort of period that he has after Wickham next Saturday, he's got a couple of sort of winnable games that he can, you know, stamp his authority on. But it's a tough one. I think, you know, at the end of that, I personally would like somebody new and somebody fresh in. But, you know, Tim does have a point that the players now do like him. And, you know, if they do appoint Joe Dunn, they can keep him in as, you know, and start sorting out contracts for next season.
Brilliant. Well, lovely. Thanks for your time, Matt. Thanks for joining us as per usual. So one thing you will have noticed, actually, as well, is that the head groundsman and his ground staff were given man of the match yesterday. Although you probably saw that, didn't you, Ian Darla? He's been speaking to Tim Armitage.
Ian, a monumental effort from you, your team, and a whole load of volunteers, rewarded by unusually the man of the match award.
Yeah, very surprising treat for us, really. But I just feel honoured to have such amazing staff around me and supporting me. Some of the lads that helped me today have been helping me for 30 years. They come in when the weather's bad, and they work like clockwork. I don't even have to tell them what to do. They've been with me so long. It's just a well-oiled machine. Obviously, sometimes you need a little bit of luck, and we had it with the snow last night. I desperately needed the snow to get some warmth into the ground after minus 11s. I did start to panic a little bit at one stage when I started getting criticism for taking the sheets off yesterday, when people were saying, what's he taking the sheets off for? But the sheets did an amazing job, but the frost had gone through them. So therefore the frost was being insulated by the sheets, so I had to get the sheets off. And then when we got that amazing amount of snow, I knew we were in with Shelt. And then early this morning, sort of 3:30-ish, I saw that we were at sort of 0.5. And that was just it, sort of jumping out of bed into work, and we cracked on. God knows how many hundreds of tonnes of snow we moved today, let alone what came off the pitch, but what the lads shifted around the stadium, because that's what people forget. It's not just the pitch, it's the safe environment of everything. So really proud to have got this. I'm not too sure there'll be any other groundsman in the country that's perhaps got man of the match.
Well, only 10 games on between the Championship down to League Two.
Yeah, but in fairness to Joe Dunn as well, he's been so supportive throughout. Been in here every single day asking how it is, and been really supportive of trying to get the game on, but also let the pressure off me and said, look, you're doing the best you can. If it's off, it's off. But it's just nice to have that working relationship as well.
And a great result given the game was on.
Yeah, I would have been devastated for them if they'd not got at least a draw, but I think the last 10 minutes they were the ones that were threatening rather than us. So good weekend all round, mate, really.
Congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
It says a good weekend all round, Ollie. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it has been a brilliant weekend for the, not just for Joe Dunn and the team, but for the football club. You know, we've had, the club has been shown on Sky Sports News. It's been a bit of a weekend just for Cambridge United, because they were only one or two games on. But just touching on Joe Dunn, I do agree with Matt in a sense that I think what we know about Joe Dunn is that he's a very good management. He's got troop man management. He instills belief in the players. He gives them the responsibility. He likes them to be creative and assess the situation. And I think that showed yesterday. You know, Luton have scored around about 15 goals in the last 5 minutes in games, and Cambridge have equally conceded about 15 or 16 goals in the last 5 minutes of game. And the way in the last 5 minutes yesterday, on Saturday, sorry, Cambridge were the only team who were looking threatening, and that sort of belief and sturdiness that Joe Dunn has put into the players is brilliant to see. And I do agree with Matt, it will be interesting to see what happens in a few months down the line when he has to build a team and he has to put his own style of play. But for the moment and the period going forward, the way he's managing, the way he's man-managing the team is terrific.
Brilliant stuff. Well, we'll come on to Cambridge City very soon indeed. Cambridge 105 Radio across the city and South Cambridge, and you're tuned to From the Terraces with Daniel and Ollie in the chair this week. So no game for City this week. Their game with Chalfont St Peter was called off. But it's perhaps matters off the field that dominate discussion, of course. Sajid Javid, Secretary of State, has approved plans for the new ground at St Ives. Robbie Nightingale joins us on the phone now. Very good evening to you, Robbie. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Brilliant stuff. Well, first things first, there's only one place to start, and it's kind of off the field, really. It's about the stadium news. How pleasing is it to finally get the green light to go ahead and get your homecoming, if you like?
It's massive, mate. It's, you know, it's something that, you know, certainly supporters and certainly the Satchel family, who have, you know, invested a lot of money and time into making, you know, sure that second time round, you know, we've got the green light. And, you know, thankfully the Secretary of State, you know, rubber stamped that on Friday, and it's massive for us. It's, you know, that light that was at the end of the tunnel is now getting, you know, even bigger, and it's, you know, something to really look forward to now.
Yeah, no, because obviously with any team that plays away from home, if you like, you know, there's always that risk that their identity might get lost, or, you know, there's a bit of a wilderness period, you know, obviously. But obviously with a new ground on the way, there's less risk of that happening with City, I guess, now with that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that, you know, it's been tough times over the last sort of 5-6 years, and, you know, we're still getting 170, 180 still coming to St Ives. You know, it's not ideal because of, you know, the A14 and the problems that causes. But, you know, we still have our identity, and we've still got, you know, a very dedicated bunch of fans that, you know, and I'm sure once we get to Sawston, that attendance figure will grow.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough, actually, in that sense, because Sawston's quite a sort of central location. But on-to-field matters really now. Of course, no game for you yesterday, and this month is going to be a bit of a busy one, really. How frustrating was it to lose yet another game to the weather?
Very. But on the flip side, everybody else lost it. So it's not, you know, we haven't lost any more ground on anybody else. So, you know, they are really frustrating because, you know, training facilities and things like that, for clubs, especially in our position, who are, you know, ground sharing and incomes at a premium, it's difficult. But you know, we've got a game scheduled tomorrow night, and you know, our secretary Andy Dewey's just sent me some pictures from this afternoon, and you know, the only thing that will be planned on the ground tomorrow will be water polo.
Probably sums it up, actually. But, you know, the rota you've got at the moment for March, you know, it's Saturday, Monday for a few weeks now. Just how grueling is that going to be?
Well, it'll be tough, but we're a young enough group. And it showed last year when teams were fading coming into that last month. You know, we ended up going on an unbelievable run. I know we got relegated, but, you know, 6 games, 5 wins, 1 draw, no goals conceded, and you know, 24 goals scored. So, you know, we are a young group. They've got good fitness levels, and you know, I'm sure that they'll relish the Saturday Monday, and we can't wait to get going, to be honest.
Hi Robbie, Ollie here. I was just a quick question with the fixtures probably backing up now in March and so on. Do you sort of have to, as a manager, then look ahead to more than one game and sort of plan your squad and possibly rotate players and maybe bring a few youth players in? Just sort of, are you planning ahead more than one sort of fixture or a couple of fixtures at a time now because of the fixture backup?
The thing is, every game we go into is so important. We carry a squad of 14, 15 players, and we've rotated as we've gone as the season's unfolded, and you know, there will be one or two youth team players that will, you know, get an opportunity. There's one or two in the development side that's, you know, that are really doing well. So it does give opportunities to people, but you know, we never look past the next game, to be honest. You know, we try, and because of the levels we're at, it's difficult to look any further than the one that you've got coming up. But you know, we've got the one thing that this break gives us is two or three players coming back from injury.
Yeah, that's always good news, of course. And obviously tomorrow night you're back in action. It's Hanwell Town in a game, I think it's the second time it's been rearranged, maybe the third time it's been rearranged. So, and they've, and obviously you've lost your last two, but how confident are you going into the game?
Very. You know, every game we go into, we've got a good enough squad to be competing in the top half of where we are at. And, you know, it's just dependent on the attitude sometimes that turns up. And that, you know, the game we lost at Thame last week was a disappointing one because we never really turned up. But, you know, it's a lesson for those that are in the team. We have 15, 16 players available and, you know, this shirt's up for grabs.
Yeah, and also Hanwell are sort of down the bottom as well. They've had a bit of a tough time of it this year as well. But in the sort of leagues that you're playing in, you know, anyone can beat anyone. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the teams at the bottom, Barton, you know, they've beaten Marlow 4-0 last week. You know, Thame have beaten us. Thame have beaten literally four of the top six. So, you know, and because they're scrapping for their lives down the bottom, it becomes a bit of a leveller. And if you don't turn up with the right attitude and the right application to work hard and do all the horrible things, then you know, you'll see teams coming unstuck like we did at Thame and like, you know, Rushton and three or four others did last weekend.
Yeah, in terms of team news for tomorrow as well, what's the sort of situation looking like with the squad? Have you got quite a lot to pick from this time, or is it going to be a case of just using what you have?
Yeah, well, we're fully fit apart from Jack Vasey. Now he could be fit enough to feature on the bench, but you know, we'll assess him when we get there. But yeah, we, you know, Ben Seymour Shove, we've got Dan Chima, who's fit and healthy again from his bout of sickness, so yeah, we should have sort of 15, 16 fit players to choose from tomorrow. if the game goes on.
Yeah, well, that's an if, isn't it, of course, because you've had that occur. I've lost count the number of times games have gone off, and I know Handball have had a similar fate as well, with so many games falling foul of the weather. So it's a fingers crossed that the pitch will hold up for this one. And obviously, if it goes ahead, it'll be a kick-off tomorrow evening for that one as well. Just a quick line on Dan Cheamer as well. He brought him in from Billericay recently as well. So he's obviously come up from a, or come down a level, if you like. How's he settled in, and how's he finding life at the City?
Well, he came in for the Tame game, and Dan looked like a guy that hadn't played for a while. You know, you can see that he's got good feet. You can see why there's a lot of clubs looking at him prior to, you know, leaving Barnet. Very talented boy. Probably, you know, needs a real good run in the team. Whether, you know, we've got him for a month. Whether we'll get him for longer than that's, you know, up to Billericay. But he's certainly got lots of good things to bring to our team.
Brilliant stuff. Well, obviously, we hope the game goes ahead tomorrow, and hopefully you'll have him back for that as well. So good luck for tomorrow if it goes ahead. Fingers crossed for you, Robbie.
Yeah, thanks very much. Take care.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Robbie. So, Ollie, Robbie had a lot of very interesting things to say there, really, about the situation. And, you know, he does talk about a lot of the common denominators in this league. You know, a lot of postponements happen. A lot of anyone can beat anyone in this league. But it's a busy month. They've got they had 8 games. I think it's now going to be about 9 or 10. Just, you know, he's obviously confident these players can cope, but can they cope?
I think it's going to be difficult, you know, whatever level you play at with that many fixtures. But, you know, he knows his side can win, can beat any team by any score on the day because they've got such great ability. I think it is just that sort of question of possibly, not fitness, but sort of fatigue. If players are playing Saturday, Monday consistently, then there's, you know, they're human bodies. They're going to have a natural bout of fatigue about them. But I think it's just sort of possibly, maybe, might have to rest one or two. I mean, it's so difficult when you want to go into every game with your strongest 11, you want to win every game, but you might have to sort of, at some point, maybe rest a couple of players to look ahead to maybe a couple of fixtures down the line. It's a tough situation to be in when you want to be winning every game to make sure you're staying with that promotion challenge that they've got.
Yeah, well, exactly. And the problem they've got as well is it's not just league games they've got to catch up with. They've also got cup games as well. They've got a Cambridgeshire Invitational Cup game to factor in. I think, it's been called off twice already to factor in as well. So at the end of the day, you know, it's a balancing act, isn't it? Because you want to win trophies, that'll help the players, that'll give them a lift. Bearing in mind they're now playing in the 8th tier, you know, they're playing, you know, below where they belong in some ways, some would say. So they obviously want to try and win trophies and try and lift their spirits. But it's that balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but equally, I guess it's going to happen at most clubs. I mean, it's a weather system that's affected the whole blooming country. But, you know, maybe it might have to bring in a couple of young players. I know if you're really pushing to get into the first team at City, which they might have to bring in. But equally, again, they've got the squad to it. They've shown throughout the season they can defeat any side on the day. They're probably the one of the possibly concerning thing is in terms of keeping clean sheets. They haven't kept as many clean sheets as they would have liked this season. So therefore, there's always going to be a day where your strikers or your forward players, even Ryan Sharman, who scored goodness how many goals this season, there's always going to be periods where they're not firing and you have to keep a clean sheet, which the City have struggled to do this season. But equally, as I said, the other side of the coin is, you know, they can put any number of goals past anyone. But it's just, you're right, it's that balancing act between making sure the players stay fit ahead of the games coming up, but also going into every game trying to win them.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, the Hanwell game is one of those ones that's been cursed, doesn't it, really, in that sense. I think it's the second or third time it's been rearranged. So we've got Steve on the line. Steve Warne joins us. A very good evening to you, Steve. Thank you for joining us today.
That's all right. How you doing?
No, very well, thank you. And how are you?
All right, thanks, yeah.
Excellent stuff. Craving
a match, really, I think, like everyone.
Yes, we've just been touching on that, actually, about this whole, you know, fingers crossed, everything crossed that the game will go ahead tomorrow because you've had enough postponements to last a lifetime. But first things first, really, it's matters off the field. We've talked about this with Robbie already, about the stadium. Just how pleasing is it to know that you'll have your own home in, what, a few years' time, hopefully, all being well?
Yeah, I mean, it is. We've had, as you say, lots of hurdles. It is great news off the field. I mean, you know, we're building towards this. This was like the final chapter, if you like, for it, because obviously we got the kind of permission again, if you like, in, I think, November. This means that this won't be any further delays now, you know, with the, like they had before. So I think, yeah, I would hope, I don't know how long these things take, but I would hope a year and a half, you know, would be good. So we can almost time it for the beginning of the season after next. I think that would be feasible, really, which would be great, because actually moving beginning of a season would be better than if we'd done it, you know, sort of mid-season. So, you know, all being well, I mean, there's a lot of things to go through, of course. You know, it's a big project. But it is great. It is absolutely great because it just gives us light at the end of the tunnel. It means, you know, we can start planning a little bit more for future years and working as a club and off the field. So, you know, the supporters' trust has been
has been really good in the meantime. I'm not obviously a member, but you know, we will be looking to, you know, continue that and obviously canvass the South Cams area and Sawston and the surroundings to try and bring, you know, generate excitement for when we do move, which we couldn't really do before because we didn't really have a timeline. So once we get a timeline in place, I think the work starts, you know, off the field for the build, you know, the marketing side, the projects, and us as a club, you know, getting ourselves out there and sort of almost a new lease of life. So yeah, it's great news and very pleased with it, obviously, and hopefully we can just crack on and you know, once the first bricks are sort of laid, it becomes really exciting for us.
Yeah, and of course, you probably don't believe it until that first brick is laid. You don't start to believe it's going to happen until that first brick is laid. But Sajid Javid, you know, he said he had no objections, of course, to this, so that must be great news. And also, you know, the fact it's not just a stadium, you're not just building a bog-standard stadium in the middle of on the outskirts of town. This is going to be a community centre, this is going to be a hub for the community as well. And I guess that's what football's all about, this level. It's trying to get people involved because you need supporters. I mean, you've obviously fallen on a few hard times, if you don't mind me saying so, but you know, an opportunity with a new stadium, community features, it's an opportunity to get back on your feet in some ways, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at all the clubs now in non-league, and I think even further up the pyramid, you know, a lot of them will have these community facilities. I think two good examples at this comparable level is Sutton United, who is playing the Conference South, and they just revamped a 3G pitch, and you saw probably in the news on their cup run last year that they have teams using it, you know, week day in, day out, and the money they generate from that and the community side, their crowds have gone up, they've gone into the Conference, you know, they're pushing for Football League, and that's all happened in a few years, and largely down to, you know, putting down a 3G pitch, you know, having that community feel and developing that area. And the other one is Slough, and Slough were similar to us in a sense that they had, I think, 12 years, can you believe, homeless in various locations. And, you know, they've got their own place again with a 3G pitch and the community, et cetera, et cetera. Albeit a slightly different model, I think, because it's council-owned. You know, the same thing applies. They've progressed and got the crowd back in and so forth. So there are models like that. I think with us, you're right, you know, having a separate 3G pitch, we're going to have an old-fashioned grass one, which should be, you know, good actually in a way, because I'm a big fan of traditional grass, I think, for an actual main pitch. But next door, you know, with 3G is going to be our, or 4G as it is, I think, is going to be our sort of revenue stream and the community aspect. And as I say, it then develops into the whole club brand. And you have, you know, we've already got a lot of teams playing, even away from home as it is. We've got, you know, girls teams, youth teams, development teams. And it's brilliant that they've kept going, actually. And that's full credit to the volunteers that do it, because, you know, we could easily have just had one team playing away from home, but we haven't kept them all going with a view to them all coming under the one banner when we move, and having that, you know, that whole club ethos, which will run right through down across every team. And that is where, you know, you get people interested and, you know, and so forth. And as you said, the whole community club aspect. So, yeah, there's a real strategy now. And of course, we can work to that, which is great. And hopefully that will bring success, you know, on the pitch, because, you know, kind of the two should go hand in hand. You know, if we have successful off-field stuff, community, crowds, etc., you know, it should translate into the first team, if you like, that then, you know, progresses up the leagues and where we want to be. So, yeah, very exciting and very positive, and there is a lot to look forward to, which is great.
Yeah, great stuff. And just before we go, just quickly touch on some of the on-field matters as well. A busy schedule coming up for March. You know, we've got chock-a-block Saturday, Monday for about, you know, the next 4 weeks or so, and it's Hanwell tomorrow night, should it go ahead as well. Robbie is obviously confident the team have got what it takes to cope with the fixture backlog, but from your point of view, have they got what it takes to cope with the fixture backlog? And how do you cope with that many games? Is it just a case of just being disciplined, being organised, or do you just have to take it in your stride?
I think it's going to be one that we've had a stop start 2018, so I think you're right. I think take it in your stride. But the key thing is we've had injuries, little injuries, the last couple of weeks. And as long as the squad is fit, you know, the first 11 and the squad actually is good enough. He may have to tinker it slightly, you know, for some of the Monday games, depending on each game as it comes. I don't think he would look to rotate for rotation's sake, but I think if there's, you know, knocks or tiredness, then he would change it. He believes in the whole squad, and that's what the squad's for. You know, you wait your chance, you're going to get, you know, game on the Monday perhaps, and if a player excels, he might still stay in for Saturday and so forth. So it just gives that healthy competition. We've been brilliant in our discipline this season in terms of, I don't think, if I'm right, we've had a sending off, which is going to help us, because again, you know, with the squad as it is, you don't want suspensions at this time. So keeping suspension free is great. We've done that, so touch wood so far. and then it's just down to fitness. But I think that we've got that, and we're at the business end of the season. We're at the top end of the table. You know, we're not. If we were mid-table or whatever, it would be a temptation to just go through the motions. I don't think that will happen with us. I think the games coming in will allow us to push back up to the playoffs and beyond, and that's what we've got to look for. So tomorrow is a winnable game. I mean, I was relatively impressed with Tamworth Island. I think they gave us a decent game at their place. I don't think they're as bad as their table suggests. So it won't be easy, but you know, if we come out of the blocks and play to our strengths, I think you know, we get 3 points and we're back in the mix then. And it's a case of momentum, as you say, just, you know, the game's coming as they do. And the key will be everyone staying fit. So as long as that happens, I think we've got a very good chance. And of course, if your games are coming quickly, you start to accumulate points quickly if you win. And of course, that will shoot us back up to, you know, kind of hopefully around about the second, third, fourth position what we want to be, you know, challenging for. So I'm not too worried. It's just translating, you know, the matches into wins, which sounds straightforward. And hopefully that will start tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be on. And then, as you say, we've got a couple of tricky games, but, you know, they're winnable on paper, which is good. So if we can play to us at our best, then certainly, hopefully, we'll start rocketing back up the table.
Lovely. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
No, thanks very much.
So Steve Warne there, giving his thoughts on City. We'll talk about Histon in a few minutes' time after this.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things Histon.
All the subtle noise of the city, there's a village green. It's been a long time since I last set eyes on the church with the steeple down by the village green.
So you know what that means? That means that Histon is the next talking point as well. No game for them as well. They lost their game to the weather. We are joined by Mark on the line. Very good evening to you, Mark.
Good evening.
How are you this evening?
I'm not too bad, thanks. I'm a little bit warmer now. And yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Still in Yorkshire at the moment, or on your way home?
Finally made it home. It's like I said, it's a little bit warmer down here, so it's nice.
Good. Well, obviously, despite the fact there's no game, there's still plenty to talk about as well, because one of the big things about Histon at the moment is this almost anxiety hanging over you, really, in a way, because it's great you're getting the results. I mean, you know, one defeat in 12 in a tough league, lots of challenges, lots of obstacles, but not a lot of clarity over what will happen at the end of the season. So does that, if from a fan's point of view, how frustrating is it that you don't know what your outcome is going to be in a way?
Yeah, as we've been saying before, it's still a little bit of a mess, and the whole kind of system rejig for step three and step four is very complicated. But I think, to be honest, at the end of the day, things don't really change in terms of you know, how you approach your whole season. You've just got to try and go out there and win as many games as you can, which is obviously what everyone else is going to be doing. You know, in that sense, it doesn't really change much, because then, you know, if you've been good enough throughout the season, then you will go up. And if we don't, then, you know, at least it's still been a great season in, you know, comparison to the past four or five that we've had. You know, I think if we can keep this bulk of players, then, you know, whether it be this season or not, I think we can have a real good go next season.
Yeah, because obviously Histon's a club with history. You know, we only have to look back a few years to think about the highs, you know, the conference playoffs, the FA Cup, all those sort of things, really. At the moment, are we kind of recreating some of those happy days, just at a more comfortable level?
Certainly. I think, obviously, there's no doubt that, you know, probably even at kind of Southern Prem Conference South level, we were probably, you know, punching above our weight, and certainly in the conference, you know, when we're up against teams like Luton and when Cambridge United were in there, and Wrexham, Mansell, just a few of those names, the gulf in clubs is quite huge, obviously, in terms of support and, you know, just, I guess, what you've got going on behind the scenes in general. So I think certainly kind of at this level and perhaps maybe the step above, we could probably become a little bit more sustainable. And at the moment, it's happy days. You know, Lance has talked about the dressing room and how all the players are happy to be there and are really enjoying their football. And it's nice to hear, because I think in the past few seasons, it's probably not been that way. I don't think players have hated being at Histon, but it's certainly been a struggle. And We've, you know, over the past few seasons, certainly lost more than we've won. So it's nice to I guess, in a way, kind of get back on track. And, you know, it certainly helps Lance coming back, an ex-player who was a key figurehead for a few seasons. And he's obviously got a lot of local contacts within within local football, and he's kind of utilised them well. And like I say, we've got a very happy team that are doing really well, and hopefully we'll be playing in a Histon shirt for a few seasons to come.
Yeah, and just very quickly before you go, Mark, Walsham and the Willows up next for you Saturday. Again, you know, they're sort of down the bottom of the league, but they are probably heads above the water. I think they're 15 points clear of the drop zone or something like that. So, you know, even though that they haven't got as much to play for, if a team's in that situation, is it not true that they might... Do you know what I mean? There might sort of be in a situation where the pressure's not on, so they perform better, or is it just a case of anyone can beat anyone in that league?
I certainly, I mean, it happened to us a couple of weeks ago when we went to Long Melford, and you know, unfortunately, they ended our long unbeaten streak, and I think they're in a fairly similar position, and yeah, we tripped up there. So no, you're certainly right. We have to be cautious when we go there. And obviously, I mean, I know everyone's had a bit of a break because of the weather, but, you know, it's going to be tough because even Joe Dunn was saying earlier, you know, at Cambridge United, at a professional setup, they struggled to get training on that week. And certainly if they did, then, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if training was probably cancelled this week. So it's going to be tough. You know, I think the experienced heads are going to have to, you know, step up and put in a good game. Game management's going to have to be key as well, because, like I say, we've probably missed a week's training, and you know, quite possibly there might be a few legs out there that plug it. So we've got to be careful not to trip up. And like you say, they've got nothing to lose, and you know, we'll be visiting them, so we could be quite a big doubt for them to take. So it's we've got to be on our game. Stay sharp and like I say, hopefully bring back 3 points, because the week after we've got a huge game against God Manchester, which, you know, if we get a win next week, could that could sort of hinge on our whether we get promotion or not. So yeah, it's going to be tough, but you know, I'll back the boys on their day to get the win.
Excellent, thank you very much for joining us, Mark.
Thanks very much.
Excellent. So Ollie, you know, Mark touching on there about, you know, things actually looking better for Histon, really. I mean, even though they're playing in the ninth division, effectively, what it is, you know, is it fair to say they're more comfortable at this level now, bearing in mind that they were playing in Tier 8 last season? They've fallen down divisions quite dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I remember when, obviously, Cambridge played Histon, but I think over the last few years, matters on and off the field haven't fully worked in their favour, and that's why they've found themselves where they are. But I think, you know, on the pitch, Lance, I asked Lance in a minute, I think Lance would be pleased with how the team have responded. Obviously, they went on that incredible 10-game unbeaten run and that winning streak as well. They lost their next fixture to Long Melford 2-1, but then they're able to respond and come back straight away with a win against Wroxham last week. I think that had really, really impressed them, how they just put the loss behind them. It happens, it's football, and then they're able to get back to winning ways last week.
So it's great they're getting results, but as Mark was saying, that, you know, as we were saying to Martin, you know, there's one or two anxieties there, isn't there, because of the fact that, you know, it might all be in vain.
Yeah, across a lot of the lower leagues, there is that sort of uncertainty. I mean, I think City as well, we're not entirely sure, City or other divisions, that there is that sort of mix-up in terms of the playoffs. But I think all that Histon could do, and all that Lance could keep saying to his players, is just keep winning. You know, they can't really be looking at the table, that old cliche about taking each game as it comes, but they've really got to just focus on the matters on the pitch and just keep winning, because at the end of the day, if they keep winning, they'll put themselves in a position where they can have a chance of getting promoted.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, really. It's just about, you know, in any situation, it's common sense to get results, isn't it, really? They've got a man in form in Ed Rolfe, actually, as well, you know, who's probably going to be quite in demand, really, as well. We've got 7 goals in 6 games now, and that's the kind of players you want, don't you, in that level?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you go on a run that Histon went on, players can easily be, you know, escalated to the headlines, if you know what I mean, in terms of players can go on runs and score goals for fun. You look at City, Ryan Sharman, he scored, you know, 20 plus goals this season already. Incredible, really. And he's not even their main striker, just playing off the front number 10. So the going on a run as Histon did, it gives players that opportunity to really push and make a name for themselves, and especially at that level. And you know, I think Histon have been terrific in the way they've conducted themselves and not felt complacent at all in that run they went on, and they've applied themselves every game, and especially, like I say, last week, just responding from that loss and coming straight back with a win would have pleased Lance the most.
Yep. You know, we're still not sure about this situation with the league, but one defeat in 12 you know, isn't bad for a team at that level, is it really? You know, let's be honest. You know, it's a tough league, and they've got, you know, there's a lot of long journeys, a lot of obstacles in the way. As I was saying to Mark, you know, and that, you know, how pleasing is it to be able to get these results and to go on these sort of runs?
Yeah, and that's brilliant. I mean, especially when towards the early part of the season they were sort of floating around just outside the playoffs, and well, what we think is the playoffs. But the way the run they went on has really pushed them up the league. I think they're fourth now. They're not too far off their third and second place. I think first place is probably a stretch too far in terms of, I think, 80 points, and they're in around 64 odd points. So, but then the sides close to them in third and second, they're in touching distance now. They've really put themselves in a position where they've got a chance of getting promoted.
Yeah, no, of course, and you know, Walsham and the Willows up next. I was saying to Mark, you know, they're not a team with a lot to play for, but they're still going to pose a threat, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, most sides in the league will pose a threat, especially when, irrespective of whether they're clear of the drop or not, they're still going to be, you know, if they're in the relegation zone, they're going to be scrabbling for their lives. If they're not, the pressure's off. Like you said, so anyone could beat anyone. It's that cliche, but it's true in the fact that if you're off your game, if you're complacent or you're off the game, any team you can be beaten in. But I do think the way Histon responded last week, coming back to winning ways straight after losing, I think they'll do the same. I think they'll do the same next week if the game's on, obviously. But I think, you know, they're focused on getting higher up the league. They're focused on getting into those promotion places, and I think they'll win again next week.
Yep, Lance joins us now. Very good evening to you, Lance. How are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us. I've got to ask the question. I know you were asked this last week about the promotion side of things. Any news on that? Any clarity on this third place promotion?
Still don't know, if I'm honest. Ash actually said that possibly the top three will be the number. It could even be top four, but we still don't actually know. But they say that top three is where you've got to aim for. So, like Goddy, like Stowmarket, that's what we're trying to get, is top three.
Yeah, and you know, bearing in mind that you didn't have a game this week, you know, that must have been quite frustrating not to play really. But I guess the good thing is you haven't got too much of a backlog, which I suppose is some consolation.
No, we haven't. No, and also when you've got like a shorter squad, you've got one or two kind of niggly injuries. It's been great, you know, in a way to get them to relax and get their injuries better than they were before. So that in itself has helped us. Obviously, the weather, it's not a bad timing, because obviously we've got come off the back of like an 11-game unbeaten run. Then you lose one, but then you beat Wroxham at home 1-0, which is a good result in the grand scheme of things. So yes, you'd like to keep that run going again, but if I'm honest, it was nice to have the break.
Yeah, of course. And you've got a player in form in Ed Rolfe at the moment. Was it 7 goals in 6 games now? How crucial is his part going to be sort of between now and the end of the season?
I think it's not just about Ed, if I'm honest. I think Ollie would say the same thing, that if you rely on one person alone, then that becomes dangerous, because I think, yes, Ed is a pinnacle part of our side, but you also have people like Matt Haven, James Carman, Lee Smith, Evan Key, they've all scored goals. You know, it's not just about Ed, but yes, he's in a rich vein of form, granted, and yes, he's becoming a handful. And if we can keep him fit and keep him motivated, which we're trying to do, and like Goddy, like Stowmarket, when you're pushing for the third spot, it's easy to get people to come training, easy to get them to do what they need to be doing. And when you come and play, it's a joy to play.
Hi, Lance, Ollie here. I just asked you, touched on that fixture against Wroxham last week. That's what really impressed you, when you go on that 11-game unbeaten run, then you slip up against Long Melford, but you're able to respond straight away. It must show sort of great focus and character from the side, especially when you've got in a couple of weeks the big match against God Manchester.
Yeah, without a doubt. Because we said, obviously, when you lose a game like that, obviously that weekend Stowmarket lost as well, and obviously Goddy put a great performance in being run from 4-0. It kind of makes it more important that the next game is 3 points, regardless of however you play. But as it was, we brought them on a good side. Obviously, new management had come in. They played a different kind of formation, and it was hard to break them down. But then the second half, we kept our game plan. We did everything right, and we only won the game 1-0, but it could have been 3 or 4 ourselves. But it was more pleasing was we kept a clean sheet, we were solid at the back, we were a threat going forward, and to get the 3 points after losing the week before was more important.
Excellent stuff. Well, lovely. Thanks indeed for your time, Lance. Just a very, very quick one as well. Walsham the Willows are next on Saturday. What kind of a game are you expecting from them?
Every game now is like an FA Cup final for us. So it'll be hard. I think people said it before, like the Felix Toews, the Coggleshalls, ourselves that have been obviously higher than years before. Everyone comes to Histon Football Club and wants to beat us. So it doesn't matter whether it's Walsham, Lillow, God, Manchester Rovers, Stanway, whoever it might be. It's always going to be a tough game for us. So we have to have the right attitude. But on paper, yes, we should win the game, but that means nothing in football. So we have to be approached in the right manner. and we go about it in the right vein and hopefully get 3 points on Saturday.
Brilliant. Good luck, Lance, and thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Right, so we've got about a moment left of the show, actually. We're going to try and get hold of Kevin Hoover to talk about women's football. No action this weekend, remember, due to the weather wiping out the schedule. So Cambridge United's women were not due to play, but the reserves game, the league plate game, was called off due to the bad weather. So, and obviously Histon's game fell foul of the weather too. Football nil, Mother Nature won. Their particular joke as well. We've got Kevin on the line now very quickly. Kevin, we've got about 30 seconds for you. Very good evening to you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Just a very very quick question just to fire at you then. No game this weekend, but I guess the weather would have had something to say about it. And it's Luton up next for you. How tough will that be?
It will be tough. They're just sitting above us in the league. They're on a good run. This week we had no game anyway, but we had two or three niggles. So the extra week off gave them a chance to rest up. So we should be at full strength come Sunday. Ready to go.
Brilliant stuff. Well, we wish you very well with that game indeed. Thanks for joining us, Kevin, albeit very briefly today.
Thank you. All right. Cheers.
Excellent stuff. So Kevin Hoover joining us there. So that's just about all we've got time for on Terrace this week. Ollie and I have had a lot of fun, haven't we? We've had a great time sitting in for the team. Well, Ollie's actually regular. I'm not the regular, so we'll be
back. It's been a long day, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll be back at the same time next week.